Welcome to the October 18th edition of In the Moment Tech Radio. I'm your host, Kent Osborne, and we've gathered the experts to talk tech today. We want to listen to your thoughts and answers on your questions, and we have the folks in line to do that. John T. Meyer joining us from the city of Sioux Falls and Lemonly headquarters. Hi, John.
How's it going, Kent?
It's going wonderful. How's your Lemonly week?
Gosh, it flew by. It's been a busy week, which is a good thing. Been enjoying this. We finally got some real nice fall weather, so it's been a great week.
Well, the adage is, you know, time flies when you're having fun. Does that apply to business too? Time flies when you're making money.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're busy right now. Busy enough. It means, you know, sometimes it's there's a little bit of added stress. But when you own a business and you're not busy, that's actually way more stressful. So, it's going well.
Yeah. My usual reply to folks when they say that they're, you know, really super busy, as I said, it beats the alternative, which is, you know, busy and
exactly,
not making money.
Yeah, so, 100%.
Crisp weather.
I'm convinced that time just goes faster as we get older anyway. Like, it just never slows down. So it doesn't matter if you're busy or not. It just seems like the days fly by. I try to somehow slow them down.
Yeah. All right. Well, welcome to the show. Also joining us today, Jeff Litterick from Peer. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
Happy Cybersecurity Month.
Yes.
We didn't talk about that too much on the last show, but I just sort of realized that we're most of the way through the month and we haven't really, you know, talked about that too much. Maybe we'll get to that in today's show. Maybe you have a few nuggets to share with us. Maybe not.
Yep, no problem. October is a big month where everyone nationwide pushes cybersecurity awareness and best practices. So,
well, maybe we'll push a few of those ideas later in the show. Also coming up at the 20-minute mark, Heather Benson, SDPB's social media expert, is going to join us. And you know, when it comes to shopping for a new phone or a computer or personal technology, the options can be overwhelming for some folks. And you know, there's different views and different things on the subject. So Heather's going to join us and help sort of narrow the list of where to start for shopping. We'll take a moment, ask a few key questions, and Heather has some insights on that for us. So she'll be joining us shortly. But until then, we are a listener interactive program. If you have a question, we provide the answer. On Facebook, we are simply facebook.com/techradio. You can post your comments, your questions there. Please don't be shy. You can send us a text, 956-STPB. That's 956-7372. And our phone number is 800-852-0214. Twitter users, you can send me questions to @KentSDPB. And the email address, ever popular email, inthemoment@sdpb.org. In the moment, all one word, @sdpb.org. Boy, getting back to Jeff, really a rash of gaming news this week. And it isn't the usual announcements before Christmas or getting ready for Black Friday sort of news. It was kind of a sad day for a lot of companies and a lot of gaming companies this week. And some of it was brought on by themselves.
Yeah, it was. Just a quick note. On the last show, I kind of made a fun joke where all the titles are really coming out next March. Just as a couple of items for people looking for holiday shopping, most of the titles have been pushed back to March, except we're hearing really positive about the new Star Wars game, Jedi Knight, Fallen Order. The reviews are coming back pretty good on that one, and that comes out November 15th. And they're even making last-minute changes to the Call of Duty that's coming out yet this month, in that they are no longer going to do loot boxes, which kind of plays into some other bad news about the gaming stuff and about them shooting themselves kind of in the foot. It's not been a good year for the gaming industry, especially Europe and some in the U.S., saying their loot box schemes to make money are gambling, and that's why Call of Duty is getting rid of the loot boxes entirely last second. Between EA kind of making everyone mad by pay-to-win kind of stuff, and then having to backtrack that earlier this year,
Yeah. And now, so let's unpack that a little bit, Jeff. So the loot box thing is so these are items that so the game balance is really what people were complaining about. Well, that and the game, they were calling it gambling, but it was really game balance, right?
Well, no, the loot boxes are in many ways gambling. By the definition that most countries ban gambling. In fact, many European countries ban loot boxes because it's a truly random slice. And in some games, it can give you a humongous advantage. In some games, it's just cosmetic, but it's still totally random. And people spend real money to get loot boxes. So
right, hence the balance thing. If I'm getting or buying loot boxes and there can be a tremendous impact for the gameplay for me and not for you, that's a problem.
Yeah, and many times they'll be called pay to win, I paid for the game, but if I put another $1,000 on loot boxes, I can get all these items that let me win the game easier, faster, and beat, especially in multiplayer games, beat other players that don't have set items.
Right.
Some games are very careful that the loot boxes are cosmetic only, but even they are being banned because they have to act kind of like gambling companies where they actually have to give the odds. What is the odd that you will get that legendary skin? Is it 1 in 1,000 boxes you open it? Is it 1 in 10,000 boxes you open? And stuff like that. So they're actually being forced to also give out odds of how long it'll take you to get an item and how much you're going to have to pay to get to it.
So skins are, for folks that don't know what that is, it's basically a cover or a cosmetic change to your armor or your mm-hmm. weapons or things like that.
It's your costume.
It's your costume, and it doesn't affect the gameplay itself, just how you look or how things look. So that's what that is. And so they're opting, instead of these loot boxes, they're going to battle passes instead.
That's one option that we've seen. But considering loot boxes are being basically put illegal in more and more countries, we'll probably see a whole new thing because this is a lot of money for the companies.
Sure.
A lot of money. In fact, in some areas, this is where most of their money comes from, not the game itself, but in the loot box. And when we talk mobile gaming, a lot of this kind of stuff is in the mobile gaming where you don't even pay for the game, but you pay for loot boxes and other advantages and stuff kind of as an ad hoc. The problem with loot box, of course, is truly random what you get out of it.
And I've seen videos of kids dumping a lot of money into opening these loot boxes and then reselling the skins that they get out of them. So they're gambling on it being a money-making thing. And, mm-hmm. Sometimes they win and sometimes they lose. And that's, that's a big deal. And you think, oh, it's just a couple of bucks here or there. I saw one guy, he did $5,000 worth of loot boxes in one sitting.
There's
on YouTube.
Teenagers that have, their parents' credit cards have been maxed out doing loot boxes. We're talking 20,000, 30,000.
Oh, my.
There's stories out there. Because even, if once you tie your credit card to the account stuff, if your kid's playing, he can loot box, buy them all day long, and it just keeps adding up. Yeah, it's gone to extreme where lots of people have paid, and this brings in a lot of money to companies, especially on the mobile side. And a lot of this is from the Asian market, which I'm now going to talk about here, how this all kind of feeds back together. But Blizzard, which was once considered probably one of the more they were kind of like the old Google, do no evil kind of tech corps. Blizzard was famous for being a very well-versed, very social conscious kind of company, very well-liked. But they've been losing founders and stuff, and they're part of Activision, which is producing Call of Duty and Porsche, but they are Activision Blizzard. Well, they run these tournaments all over the world for their different games, and one of them is Hearthstone. And while it technically is against the rules, which is kind of funny because they tend to apply these rules selectively, as we have learned this week, a Hong Kong contestant for Hearthstone won the Grandmasters Championship for Hong Kong. So he won $10,000. At the end, they do these little interviews, and the casters, the commentators, were from Taiwan. There was kind of an ongoing thing they kind of go to, but anyway, he put out a statement of liberate Hong Kong, supporting the Hong Kong protesters.
Put up a little sign, yeah. Held up a handmade sign.
Yep. Within about 30 seconds, the video feeds were all cut, and a statement was put out literally within an hour, if not minutes, that he was banned from the tournament for 1 year. He had forfeited all of his money, the $10,000 he'd won, and that the commentators were also banned from Blizzard for at least 1 year, if not ever.
Now, that sounds like an overreaction.
Oh, humongous overreaction. And just for one little statement. It wasn't a very long statement. It was, you know, liberate Hong Kong.
Sure.
Sorry about that. It was liberate Hong Kong. It was my ring doorbell kind of going off. Liberate Hong Kong. And then anyway, this caused a humongous reaction of people wanting to boycott Blizzard, all this stuff. And Blizzard was a very silent for a week. In the middle of this, another Hearthstone tournament, this one of colleges, where different college teams compete against one of them held up a sign saying Free Hong Kong just after this event happened. But because it was a Western thing going on, they weren't banned at all. They did some stuff where they cut away the video from them, but they weren't banned at all. And then Blizzard, in their only press release to begin with, put out a Chinese Twitter, a WeBot, statement saying, "We apologize, this will never happen again, and we support the pride of China," in terms of the banning of the person who said Free Hong Kong. So this really put up a humongous storm. Where people, and BlizzCon's coming up, their big convention in a couple of weeks, and people are trying to organize protests at BlizzCon, all this stuff. They finally rolled back a little bit at the end of last week, a Friday at 7 p.m., where they put out a statement where they gave him back his money, but only banned him half for 6 months instead of a full year from competing again. They actually lost a lot of their famous casters for their games and have already bailed on BlizzCon and said, we won't work anymore for a company that doesn't support free speech, especially because Blizzard has in the past made many free speech as a company in the Western side, but they for social issues. But anything with China, they're very, very tight-lipped on because China is very liable to ban them. And that's a good percent of, remember, these loot boxes and these mobile games. Most of the money comes out of China. So, and China has a known history of just banning them. In fact, I don't know if you know this, but they banned the image of Winnie the Pooh because someone compared it to that Winnie the Pooh looks like their president. Banned other stuff at just the drop of a hat, and it's a humongous market. I mean, we all heard about the NBA stuff going on and stuff, and this is all happening at the same time.
Yeah. So the news didn't really get better for Blizzard. They called off a press conference that they were going to do about it, which would have been a huge announcement, porting over of Overwatch.
It was actually Nintendo. They had just brought the game Overwatch out on the Nintendo Switch, and Nintendo, it was actually their staff, though, there was going to be Overwatch voice actors in New York at their store as the grand kind of announcement. You could buy at their grand opening stuff, and they were getting death threats. And it's gotten to the point where Blizzard is getting death threats. The employees are getting death threats. In fact, some of their employees actually walked out and protested in front of the company. One of their company, they have certain company mottos about taking pride and all voices should be heard on big signs outside. The employees actually covered them up. They were so embarrassed about the stance the company was making. But through most of this, Blizzard has been fairly silent. And like I said, they canceled the event. Because of planned protests and stuff, BlizzCon is coming up, and I don't think they can cancel BlizzCon. This is going to be a very interesting BlizzCon. You can watch large parts of it for free on YouTube and Twitch, by the way, if you're interested in this kind of stuff to see how it all plays out. But Blizzard last year kind of made a lot of their PC gamers, their core market, mad about Diablo, announcing a Diablo mobile game whenever everyone thought they were announced Diablo on the PC last year. So this has not been a good full year for Blizzard. They kind of screwed up last BlizzCon. This all is happening before the new BlizzCon, and it's supposed to be an announcement of new games at this one, finally. So this was supposed to be a humongous BlizzCon for them, but they can't seem to keep stumbling, and being silent I don't think is helping them, because this actually tagged on Twitter, Tending Trags of Boycott Blizzard. There's lots of famous people that have publicly deleted their accounts and posted the deletions. In fact, it became so bad that it overwhelmed their servers, and nobody could delete their accounts for a while because the servers were just overloaded with requests to delete accounts.
Well, we'll loop back after BlizzCon and see how that all went for them. But Blizzard is not the only. Fortnite had a little issue where they went dark, and Fortnite again is this it's a very extremely popular game. You're kind of dropped into this landscape of rickety towers and weapons, and you run around and try to dominate. But some people logged in to find out that it was just kind of a black hole there for it was quite a while, wasn't it?
Well, for a couple of days.
That wasn't a performance issue. That was a marketing thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they launched a new level or a new world. For like 48 hours, it was the whole universe got sucked into a black hole.
Yep, even on their Twitch stuff, it was a black hole. In fact, it actually broke Twitch. There were so many viewers watching basically a graphic image of a black hole on Twitch for the Fortnite because it's so humongous. But yeah, it was them announcing Chapter 2. And so basically they are revamping. Right before, if you were online, I guess people noticed this, but you had to be online. So they actually had a meteor come down and blow up the old world map. Basically, if you don't know about Fortnite, it's a multiplayer kind of shoot game where you all land at the start of a match, 30, 40 people on a island. You all fight it out until there's only one or one team surviving. So right before the black hole, a meteorite came down and blew up the entire world. And now they have a new land out and stuff like that. Basically, instead of Fortnite 2, they kind of are reinventing Fortnite going forward as Chapter 2, destroying the old and creating the new. And, yeah, they broke.
So did the players know this was coming?
Stuff in the process.
Did the players know this was coming?
Nope. No one knew it was coming until it happened.
So this is a marketing deal that just... Wow, that adds only. When I read the article, I didn't read that into it. I read it as a technical problem, and then all of a sudden, the chapter two came back, and I went, "Well, that's interesting."
That's a brilliant marketing tactic. You're seeing things like that. I mean, Burger King did it in what did they do? Argentina for a day where they didn't sell. They took the Whopper off the menu. No Whoppers you could order that day. And what happens is you end up getting whatever revenue was lost. Fortnite, or in this case, or Burger King example, they gain way more than that and just earn media and discussion and marketing. Like Jeff said, it was more people were tuning in just to watch a black screen. It became the promotion of the new chapter.
At one point, there were over 300,000 viewers of just the one stream, and that's when Twitch started breaking. So
that's amazing. And did anyone try to capitalize on that as far as other gaming companies? You're not. You're not playing Fortnite now, so why don't you give this a shot?
There probably were. There are quite a few competitors, Fortnite, Apex Legends and stuff. And I did notice a lot of the Fortnite common streamers that always play Fortnite were playing other games. But everyone was right back to Fortnite because, hey, when it came back up, it was Chapter 2, all brand new, kind of revamped, all refreshed. It's not a new game, but... in many ways, a new experience. So everyone kind of jumped right back in.
I did catch that part out of there that for old and new players alike, it had benefits and people seemed to be fairly pleased when it did come back. Well, we'll kind of step aside from gaming news for a few minutes and take a quick break. When we come back, Heather Benson's going to join us. We're going to talk about buying stuff because. We're going to be doing that in the next couple of months, all that after this quick break. We are in the moment on SDPB Radio. It's Tech Radio. I'm Ken Osborne, and we're talking tech with the computer guys. We've got John T. Meyer and Jeff Litterick joining us, and as well as Heather Benson now joins us in the studio. We're taking your questions and comments about the tech in your life. We'd love to hear from you. Send your questions by emailing them to inthemoment@sdpb.org or by text 956-SDPB. That's 956-7372. Heather, great to have you back.
Thanks for having me, Kent.
It's time for another Elder Tech segment. And this is the Boy, you know, we sort of had this thought process of why don't we try to help explain some tech things to some people that are maybe not quite so technical.
Indeed.
And that's the seed of this month's Elder Tech, really.
It is. We called this little segment when I was writing up Personal Tech for the Non-Techie. And I know the three of you, the rest of you that are online, are probably going to be like, whoa, these are simple questions. But when I talk to friends of mine who aren't first adopters, who are, you know, the people who, when they get the iPhone 4 in 2018, they were pretty excited.
Mm-hmm.
those people who tech is part of their life but not necessarily a key part of their life, the way shopping is approached is often a lot different than how you might or I might. And I thought it'd be good, you know, if you wait till you show up in the Verizon store and start looking at phones there or Best Buy and start looking at computers and you don't have all your ducks in a row, you're at the mercy, just like you would be shopping for a car, shopping for real estate.
You're probably going to be very overwhelmed.
You're going to be overwhelmed.
All the choices,
all the information. And, you know, salespeople, God bless them, their motivations aren't the same as your motivations. So we sort of just put together a quick checklist of things that any of us can use. It's not just people who are non-techie, but people who are techie too ask these same questions just in a different way.
Okay.
Before you walk out the door.
Okay. So what's the number one thing?
Well, the number one thing is, what are you actually doing with your technology right now? I mean, if you sit down and you think, what do I want from a smartphone or a phone? Doesn't have to be a smartphone. What do I want from how I interact with the internet? Do I use a keyboard a lot? Do I need a laptop? Do I prefer touch screens? What am I doing? If you have an existing, you know, some of the smartphones, like my iPhone has that great screen time thing that can tell me exactly what I've done on my phone last few days, mm-hmm. last few months, last few, how long?
Yep.
That's a great way to gauge. If all you're doing, you know, on a daily basis is checking your email and checking into Facebook, it can really help you reevaluate what your needs are. Conversely, if you go through your phone, you check your pictures, and you got about 2,000 pictures indoors at dusk, and they're all blurry and terrible, mm-hmm. it might help you reevaluate what kind of camera you want to get.
Sure.
And so go through and really think about, what am I doing? And that really leads you to the next question is, what do I have now that isn't working for me? So if you're taking a lot of dusk photos and all your pictures are terrible and you are tired of having nothing good, well, write that down. That's something that's not working for you. If you have a smaller smartphone but you text a lot and you're tired of fat fingering everything, mm-hmm. that might be your opportunity to think about something that's got a little more improved voice to text, or maybe you want a larger screen. If you're finding yourself wanting to do a little more editing and you're playing with stuff and you're making videos of the grandkids and sending them, well, start thinking about what will run that for me. And use that to start guiding your decisions about where you're going and what you're going to buy and finding ways to avoid those frustrations. I think we all run into things with our existing tech, be it our home computer or our smartphone or, you know, tech that we got in our household that's just not working for us. Write those things down, because it's like going to the grocery store without a list. If you can't remember the things that are bothering you and you get swept up in all the information, you get swept up in the salesman trying to sell you the newest gadget, you might forget some of the things that are important to you, and you might make purchases, and none of this technology is that cheap anymore.
No.
That you really didn't need.
I just realized that because I've been kind of in the market myself. I've got a much older Galaxy phone, and it's chugging along, and I realized it was time this cycle, now that the new iPhones are out and the Galaxies have been out for a while, and Google just came along with their new Pixel phones. You can't turn on a television set or on a computer without seeing a Pixel ad right now. So that made me start thinking about upgrading, and my new phone gets here next Thursday, so I'll be talking about that on the next show. But you're right. You have to realize, what is it I'm trying to do? And I decided that a bigger screen was for me because it seems like I'm doing more things mobily now without a laptop with me. And I need access to certain things, and my eyes are not getting any better. So I decided to go with a larger phone, and so that was an option I had. What are some other, what's another handy tip we can give folks?
Well, the next thing, you know, just we just alluded to going to the grocery store, or, you know, a lot of people, we bought real estate and we write down the things that we have to have, that you walk into a house that needs to be there in day one.
Yeah, you're on.
And you need to do that same thing with tech, because you're looking, you know, if you're walking out to buy a new smartphone, you're looking at maybe a $1,000 investment, maybe even more. If you're looking at a new computer, none of these things are things that are pocket change typically. So make that list of the things you cannot live without, so that you know you come home with the things you absolutely have to have. And then prioritize that list of the things you think would be fun to have. And use that to guide your decision and look at what those price points are going to be before, again, you walk out the door. Because once you're out the door, once you're on the sale, I think most of us have been in that moment where you're just like, I want to get this done, or this seems like a great idea, and you don't always think it through. And then you come home and go, what have I done?
I should have got the bigger, you know, the bigger storage or the different color or the whatever. So the needs versus wants, we do that when we go buy a car or anything else. So apply that to technology as
well.
Exactly.
And then do the same thing that you do for a lot of other things. Talk to people who have the technology you're looking at. Talk to friends. And don't just talk to your, quote, techie friends. Talk to someone who lives like you do and ask what they have and what they like about it. Because if you can talk to someone who's using tech similarly to what you do, it's going to be a different answer than talking to Kent Osborne, who uses tech in a different way than my Uncle Dave might.
Right. And, you know, it's been a few years since we've mentioned this on the show, but when we had people call in and ask about, well, do I do the Mac or do I do the PC? Do I do the iPhone or do they do the Android? And some of the first questions we'll ask is, what do your friends use? What does your family use? Because that can impact a lot of those can be your helpers.
Absolutely.
And so if you're swimming with the same carrier and maybe using the same type of phone, that can really help. If your kids want to FaceTime with you, whatever. So there may be a reason to do that.
Well, and another great reason we're talking about, if you're less comfortable with technology, but you have some people in your house that are, it's not necessarily a bad idea to get the same type of smartphone your 17-year-old has. Because you know what? When you get lost and stuck on something, you have in-house tech support.
You do.
Yeah, good point. The other one I was going to throw out, I heard this one time when people were talking about reviews, online reviews, right? And usually online reviews are very polarizing. No one goes online and says, like, yeah, I like this. The phone is a solid phone. I enjoy it. It's either, I love this, I will buy every iPhone ever, you know, I worship the iPhone, or usually the opposite. But I heard that, like, you know, looking at negative reviews can actually help you make a decision in a positive way. So like a review might say, hey, this camera is just like way too complicated. Or maybe the reverse. They say, this camera is too simple. Like, I wish it had more features. I wish it had more customizations. And you might say, hey, I'm a novice photographer. I actually want a simple camera. And so actually using the negative reviews is a way to, but it starts with what Heather said, is like knowing what you want. Because really, she's right. Like our tech tools today can do basically everything. But, you know, we probably use 10% of what our iPhone can actually do. And so really thinking about how you use your tech to then decide what you actually need.
And I think that's a really great point, John. I mean, understanding those negative reviews and what people didn't like, it's not necessarily a negative to everyone. Mm-hmm. I know I've gotten really picky when I buy stuff on Amazon. I don't necessarily want 4,000 positive reviews, but I want to read a variety of experiences if it's a fairly big ticket item or something that I really need to work when it comes home.
Right.
And technology is one of those things that typically when you get it home and you turn it on, you need it to work. You don't want to be 4 days without your text messages, or 3 days without the ability to turn the furnace off, or 2 days without the ability to log in on the computer and use your email. Having something that works for you in your life, the way you use it, not the way anyone else uses it, but the way you use it, is the number one most important thing to come home with. And once you've gathered all that information, you know what you want, and you have an idea of what those options might be, and there's, you know, tons of great web resources out there, that's when you're ready to go shopping, be it online or in person. And walking in with that list narrowed and those specs, you know, you don't need the salesman to tell you the 90 specs that you're never going to use. You just want to talk about the 10 that you are. And the last piece that I always say for cars and for tech is it's not always the best option if you're not a first adopter. If you just want something to work, to get the newest version of the newest thing. Let someone else work the bugs out.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe get the year old model, because you know what? You have a year of reviews. You've got a year of friends using it. And you have a year of the company being able to work through some of the issues and make it a better product for you. When that thing launches next Thursday, Kent's hoping for the best. But he's prepared for the worst because he's got that skill level. Not all of us want to deal with that.
One more kind of, I don't know if it's a counterpoint, but if you're out there and you're thinking, yeah, I like my phone. It works great. I don't really need a new one. But you're maybe wishing or looking for an excuse or a reason to justify that new one. I'm a big believer in spending money on the things that we use every day, right? So I think there are a lot of things we spend money on that we shouldn't, probably don't need to, or could always get a cheaper or generic version. But when it comes to things like my mattress or my shoes, or really even my phone, to me, that makes sense as something you should invest in because you use those things every day. And I think about if the new phone truly, if really the only difference is that it's faster. But for me, who's probably a pretty power user, I do a lot of work on my phone because when I'm traveling, I don't even bring my laptop anymore. I just work from my phone. That extra speed, that extra processing power, it might be worth it. So thinking about, you know, how heavy of a user you are is also a great way to make a decision.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great way to put it. This is why thinking this investment through is so important. For most of us, even who someone isn't a power user, we're using our technology every day, multiple times a day. So like a house, like a mattress, like a car, this is an important investment. It might not be a $100,000 investment, but it's a life investment that deserves some thought and consideration of what's really going to be a great fit for you.
Those are very good points, and I did succumb to the some of the consumerism triggers that go off, you know, in some of the ads and things like that. But on the same token, as I use the technology more, I realize that this is going to get me done. It's going to be done faster. It's going to be more beautiful, and then I can talk about it on the show as well. So it's an added benefit. So listeners will appreciate.
Can you expense that maybe?
I can't, but it's okay. It's okay. Got a good deal and kind of one of those kind of things. Oh, why'd you get the new car? I got a really great deal on it. So I knew the salesman. No, I can't say that either. It was an online transaction, so I can't really profit anybody for helping me out there. But
to be fair to you, Kent.
Yeah.
One of your joys in life is trying out new tech.
Oh yeah.
Invest in the things that make you happy.
Yeah, exactly.
I was trying to help you too, right? Like if it's faster, I'm trying to give people a reason who want to invest in that new tech, right? If it's faster, you know, justify it. That's what I tell myself.
Yep. Yep. Well, there's so many things I'm curious about the advancements on technology over the years, and I'm several generations back on mobile, not having to sit and wait while this thing churns and logs me in or whatever is going to help as well. It is going to make things easier, but then I'm hoping it'll expand some possibilities in some of the feature sets that come along with it as well. So very interesting. Heather, was there anything else you wanted to mention along? We'll put some of these tips, or we'll put all these tips, no reason to discriminate against other ones, but we'll put all these on the show notes for today. So if you go to go back to listen to this show at listen.sdpb.org, or if you just go to sdpb.org and click on listen, you'll see that list of great content that SDPB produces, and you'll see the show. You can listen to it again, or we'll put these notes there as well in the
Indeed.
Description, I guess, of the show. So find it there after the show today. Fairly shortly after the show, we'll also try to put that link on our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio. If you're still a user of Facebook, and many of us are, that's got some social grips on us. We got to see what our kids are doing and whatever, what the latest events in town are. So despite some of Facebook's news lately, we're still pretty much power users.
That's the challenge with Facebook, right? You have I've seen a lot of people, the whole delete Facebook movement, or I definitely don't use it as much. I probably check in a couple times a week. It used to be several times a day. But Zuckerberg was so smart, and any potential threats along the past, six, seven, 8 years for his business, he bought up. So like, I do use Instagram, probably check that probably once a day. I think if you're deleting Facebook but using Instagram or WhatsApp, you're really not taking a stance against Facebook in any way. But they protected their business well.
Speaking of screen time, I guess while we're still talking about social media right now, so TikTok news, some slide deck got found, that was a private or person, not a personal one, but one got leaked, and they're talking about it, and this is being a fairly conservative, 500 million users now worldwide, 30 million in the U.S. And this is what kind of got me. The users were checking it an average of 8 times a day, and the total time, 46 minutes of usage. And if you know TikTok, those are 15-second videos.
So we're talking an enormous amount of
46 minutes of video consumption on this at 15 seconds a pop is a big deal. So 69, I have terrible handwriting, 69% of those users are 16 to 24. So if you want to know what the kids are doing,
okay.
They're TikToking.
Well, and the New York Times just put out a really great, they took, I think it was 4 of their critics, like their film critic, their dance critic, TV, their in-house TV critic, and all these people are not the TikTok targeted demographic.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked them to use TikTok for 48 hours, to just go live in that world and come back and talk about it.
How'd that work for them?
It was really fun to read, because they all got sucked in, just like everyone who's 16 to 24 years old. And if you go on TikTok, it reminds me of slot machines. You just can't quite help but hit the button again. I mean, I think it lives in that world of just triggering that consumptive behavior in a way that is very similar to gambling, to be quite honest. Only the reward is watching some person jump their golf cart for no apparent reason.
Yeah, I think the best, I haven't really, I've downloaded it just to kind of like try to understand, but I really have spent no more than probably 5 or 10 minutes in the app. But I've seen TikToks like be shared elsewhere on Twitter, and I think I saw the best explanation, which was like, someone said, I downloaded TikTok to try to explain it, and then 50 minutes later I like came out of my phone and realized why the kids love it, something like that.
Have you ever sat up until 3 o'clock in the morning watching Russian dash cam videos on YouTube because you just can't stop clicking the next one?
I have not done that.
so I'm probably not a very good.
Not until 3 a.m., but they can get actually kind of addicting once you start on those playlists of watching all the dash cams.
So this may not be good for me if I download TikTok and
well, the New York Times TV reviewer had a great synopsis, which is that TikTok is as if you took every TV show, every movie, and you only took the climactic event from it, that 15 seconds where everything changes, and that's all you have, and that's part of what makes it so
you just get the juice.
You're just getting the juice over and over and over again.
That's pretty good.
Man, all right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up just a tiny bit more gaming news. This time we're kind of on the positive side of things after all that that gloom and doom earlier, and take some questions and comments from listeners. We'll do all that right after this quick break. Jeff Litterick joins us from BIT and Peer, and John T. Meyer from Lemon Lee in the big city of Sioux Falls. And we are here to take your questions and your comments. In the moment at sdpb.org is the email address. The text number is 956-SDPB. That's 956-7372. And just, again, a reminder, we'll take Heather's notes and we'll post them along with the show audio today on the radio website at listen.sdpb.org shortly after the show today. So that'll be kind of fun. Jeff, I didn't really want to make this entire show about gaming, but there was a lot of gaming news this week. And part of it was Riot Games, which makes League of Legends. And by the way, my wife and I both watched the end of a League of Legends tournament on television the other day together. That was an interesting discussion. So to how mainstream this is kind of getting, but, apparently League of Legends has been out 10 years.
Yep.
So they said we're celebrating that. And then holy mackerel, did they make some announcements, as far as new games, they've kind of been a one hit wonder there for 10 years, the better part of 10 years. And all of a sudden, they're talking about a shooting game, a fighting game, an RPG sort of game, a card game, a cartoon. Did they just open up the marketing book and just say we're going to do everything? Kind of what I'm wondering.
Well, at least every major area of gaming, it seems like. And they have been. League of Legends. I don't remember when they were recently purchased out by a Chinese company, which infused them with a lot of money. But they are humongous. That one game is as big as 20 or 30 of the other top games combined for the past 10 years. The only thing probably close to it in scope is Dota 2, which is the same type of game by Valve. It's worldwide sensation, and to be honest, it's not more just like one game; it's one map. I've kind of gotten a little bit bored over time because it's the exact same game that was 10 years ago with little tweaks and abilities and new heroes that you can run and stuff. But the actual gameplay objectives and stuff have never really changed in that 10 years. And it's still, whenever there's tournaments on, it's the biggest prize tables. It has the most money, and it's the top of Twitch. It's kind of amazing how long it's lasted.
Well,
anything, there's, games always age, right? So we've always heard they've been working on a successor and stuff like that, but it was kind of surprising with just the raw number of different types of games that are totally, completely kind of opposite in many ways of what they've been doing for 10 years they're trying to come out with, so.
Mm. Yeah, not listed in there was an update to the original League of Legends, but, that maybe they're working on that too. They've had 10 years. I mean,
it's kind of one of those things because this has happened in the past with gaming is like StarCraft is somewhat like this. It was humongous. It's humongous, humongous. We want StarCraft 2. When StarCraft 2 came out, StarCraft 1 dropped off. StarCraft 2 did it have the holding power and kind of died off? So gaming companies are a little bit more hesitant about releasing that sequel when it's still going as strong as it is, because it's still going gangbusters. I mean, League of Legends, compared to almost anything out there, is still number one in terms of money making and stuff like that as games go. So,
Yeah, well, maybe a little gun shy, huh? Wink, wink. Hey, we have a question via text message. It says, "Tech savvy people seem to know places to go to buy at discount prices." Once you've decided what the needs are, is eBay a good place to get a deal? Or what else would you suggest? I don't want to pay retail. Looking for a 59-plus, imagine 59-plus-year-old person. Thanks. So, Jeff, where do you go to find a good tech deal?
Well, I don't go. I wait. There's a couple sites that I just can't remember the name right off the top of my head that basically look for deals all the time. And then send alerts out, and you can go to the website and look. If you're willing to be patient and wait for the deal to kind of come to you, so to speak, anything out there you will get a deal on, and you will probably get a really good deal. I've seen stuff $200-$300 off for a one-day-only sale. You do have to be aware that many of these will be very short-term. You have to be know what you want and be ready to buy at that time before they sell out, because it's going to be a very short term. But there's a couple different websites that kind of are always doing the deals of the day in tech and in other stuff too that's online. So all this is online only. And I kind of, if I need something right now, I'll do a quick search. There's a couple sites that will compare Amazon and other sites real quick. But usually if it's something, I wait for it to come, because almost everything cycles within 3-4 months on this site. So, and what all it's doing is pointing to the other sites that are offering deals. So,
I know. Oh, sorry, Jeff.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know Joel Brovelite, who used to be on the show for Apple products. He was always big on Craigslist. He actually told me if I had products that I wanted to sell, you know, Apple products hold really good value if you're trying to sell. But also on the flip side, I mean, maybe you crack a phone in the middle of the year and you're like, well, I'm going to wait till September when the new iPhone comes out. You know, you can go online, Craigslist, eBay, and find, good products for resale. Of course, all Apple products have that 1 year factory warranty. So you always want to look into that. That may not be the case it won't be the case after that year. But yeah, I know that you always recommended looking there.
I read that wrong.
And Craigslist are good, but you really have to kind of know the pricing and stuff, because there's good deals to be had, but there's really terrible deals to be had too. You have to kind of be knowledgeable about what you're getting and what the price should be.
So, confession here, I misread S9 Plus for 59 Plus. So not the age. That's the phone they're looking for. My apologies. I'm looking at really small text on a really big screen. But anyway, so in this scenario, so this is not the latest phone. There are places locally to go that refurbish and sell used phones as well. We cannot overlook your local vendors, especially on a, you know, you could be talking, if you're looking for a deal, you could be looking for a used phone or a reconditioned or refurbished phone, which is also a tip. When I'm shopping for something like a laptop or a camera or something like that, I check refurbished, or they call them renewed, as well, because you're going to get a warranty of some sort, and somebody's gone through it and made sure it works right. So there's another tip. Especially if you're looking for an older phone like this. It's not super old, but it's a little older. Look for refurbished. Look for renewed. Look locally at some shops, and you may be able to find it. You could find it on eBay. You could find it on Craigslist. There's a myriad of places, but sometimes you might stumble across it on Facebook through their market there, their marketplace. But they're all good places, and shop around for a good deal. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Have a great weekend.